opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. Then you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Zone.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is going to be here. I know you don't know what righteousness really worth. It's a all that needs a gold.
Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, alright? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griffin, Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. I'm your host and facilitator. We started off the program with a song, Get Up, Stand Up, by the legendary Bob Marley, which sets the stage for our guest, Pam Africa, who is a stalwart in the fight against the state's plan to execute Mumia Abu-Jamal. Pam Africa from the Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal will share with us the latest happenings and goings on in their fight to make sure that the state does not execute a political prisoner the likes of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And we'll hear that interview following these messages. Don't go anywhere. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. The Cyberspace Sanctuary is a safe house for your mind where we encourage you to expand your mind, be a part of growth, maturity, and transformation as we free our minds so the rest will follow. We'll be right back.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's IRELEND Place, Suite 109, Amityville, AMITYVILLE, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary
on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. We're speaking with Pam Africa from the Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal, and she's going to give us an update on the recent ruling that set aside his death sentence. First of all, sister, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really am. Healthy, you know, strength to do the work, and especially after reading your email this morning, which inspired this interview.
Well,
it was on Obama. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. I said you've been defending Mumia for decades. So how does it feel to get over this hurdle? I mean, you've been there before, but then the court reversed it. So how do you? What's your feeling right now?
And it gives us time to continue to fight for Mumia. But what I want people to understand, you know, because a lot of people think Mumia is off a death row. Mumia is not off a death row, and that's going to be another fight. And also, you know, the battle to have him released from jail, because under no circumstances are we going to accept for Mumia or any of the other people that are innocent and languishing on death row a decision of death or either life in prison without the possibility of parole when you have evidence of innocence. And I want people to understand that, you know, this decision that this judge has made to saying that it's unconstitutional to execute Mumia, it is also unconstitutional to keep him in jail. The same judges, from the city to the state all the way up to the federal judges, has all broken the law when it deals with the case of Mumia, because evidence of innocence was purposely not put before the Supreme Court justices who came up with the decision that it's unconstitutional to keep Mumia in jail. And I want to point out to people, I want to go back in history a little bit, where I believe it was 2001, but we were doing a demonstration against the death penalty on the date that they beat, stoned, shot, and kidnapped Mumia off the streets, which was December the 9th. And this particular time, our demonstration was headed in a different direction than what it usually be. We've done them in the hood, we've done them on the Avenue of Arts, we've done them up Market Street, we shut down businesses, shut down their train lines. But this particular day, we were heading up towards Rittenhouse Square because we had got the building and rented the Ethical Society. Well, our point in going that way was to let the that 1% that people talk about, let them know that we were not going to accept having Mumia, in prison. When we started that march up there, when we got to about 19th Street, we was attacked viciously by the police. We had never been attacked by any police in our whole history of the battle for Mumia's life. This particular time, we were vicious. They knocked out a booty from our police, knocking our hole. At the same time, there was a young Asian sister who they took and threw to the ground, and she received a fractured hairline on her tailbone. But what was significant in this battle for Mumia was that it was this young white boy who the cops had knocked down to the ground. You can see that he's unarmed and his hands, you can see this boy scared to death because there was this big white, beefy white cop with a gun drawn. The boys on the ground looking like, no. And he had caught the trigger. And then this other police officer, this was frontage and the picture's up on the internet. This other police officer was like shaking, doing his hands like, no, don't do it. And in that demonstration, we had members of the European Parliament. We had people from Africa. We had people from Guatemala. We had people of media from around the world and officials. So this picture, of course, the Daily Inquirer didn't, show it or the media here, but it went around the world and it caused pressure. And people was like, really looking at the case of Mumia. That was on December the 9th. On December the 15th, Judge Nye, who had thrown out evidence of innocence in Mumia's case and had the evidence to release Mumia from prison. death sentence into life in prison without the possibility of parole, and they had 60 days to respond. Well, what this actually did, this was not a decision where they were doing it because it was right. It was for the pressure, the power of the people who had united around the world to deal with this issue and what was going on then. So this was a safe place. And at that particular time, the anti-death penalty movement, because it is now a life in prison situation, you know, so they were thinking, and also they moved away. And then at that same time, the movement was like a battle, and we're trying to explain to people that this is not a winning for Mumia, and this is a cowardly decision, to divert people's attention from what was going on, because the thing was, it was 90 days we started instead of 90 days where Mumia had to respond and a district attorney had to respond to whether they were going to give Mumia life in prison or the death sentence. So Mumia immediately responded he wanted, he could produce evidence of innocence, so he wanted a trial. Come on with it. The district attorney said, oh, yeah, well, we want to kill him. Maureen Faulkner, Danny Faulkner, twice was like, oh, yes, you know, we want to kill him. I got to have my closure. And this has been their thing for years. So all of a sudden, this thing is flipped. So we're into this 90 days. We turned into several years. And what was happening there, they were using this time to fill out the people to see, will people accept life in prison without the possibility of parole? Because they know damn well they cannot kill Mumia without, because it won't be like the situation with Shoppers and Cooper or Tookie Williams or Diane Israel from Innocent Men, who people said that if they die, there'll be fire in the sky and you never see a puff of smoke. And, you know, right now I like to say to people who say these things, stop paying games with people lives. Because we're doing the right thing to do, but then that you didn't do it, it makes our work much harder. So here we are, we got new energy, we're battling with people that, this was a cowardly move, and, it's been a battle all the way, and they have been trying to, because Mumia had three different hearings after that. And they seemed we want the masses, and they were shocked because they thought the news media and 3-6-10 Fox and all of them and the lies that they were told would be, and even bringing in black folks. The district attorney stepped away and stated that Mumia is absolutely guilty and he had the proof. A black man was filmed Tigray Hill, which is turned out to be only show that SOP needs food on parade because they helped finance this film, which only puts people to see that they had no kids. So, they know that they're at a loss. And, countries outside the United States, in some cases across the United States, movie is building bigger and bigger. So here they come, Maureen was still hollering that I want them there so I can have my children. Seth Williams, the black DA, who said, well, we want to see to it that you have it. Why now that we're at the point where Seth Williams can actually come along and say, well, we're pushing for the death sentence? Why is Maureen Faulkner all of a sudden saying, I don't think, the city has spent so much money, I just can't see them spending more money, and Seth Williams said, it's whatever Maureen says, because the court has stated that it's unconstitutional. We believe the movie is still Faulkner. Why are they backpedaling now? They're backpedaling now because if we had a hearing, if we pushed for that hearing, Mumia can show evidence of innocence, which was never introduced before, but there's still only two things can come out of this, and that's life in prison or the death sentence. Mumia wants to go all the way with it, because he do have evidence of innocence, and when they do, they're at this point where they want to get here so they can push for this death and all. And again, right now, these people are trying to fill us out. They're trying to see, you know, whether we accept these licenses without the possibility of parole. And look, they say death row, we say hell no, and we say the same thing to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The movement is getting bigger, it's getting larger, and you know, the district attorney and you know, his forces, and you know, they're trying to figure out exactly what to do with this. They know they have failed in corporate media, and because there is no power like the power of people, and the power of people won't stop. And God knows you cannot be stopped. So, on December the 9th, and again, we have no faith in the system, but we do have faith in a movement. And I'm going to say this about Romina. Romina, when they signed his death warrant on two occasions, and then I went to visit him right after he they killed Troy Davis. That same day, his sister Lydia Barashango and all passed. And he found out that a couple days before this, that his daughter Goldie and all had breast cancer. And when I went to visit this brother, I was telling him, I said, people want to know, how are you feeling? So he said, hopeful. He said, I hurt. He said, but I am very hopeful. He said, I feel love. I feel love from around the world. And he knew that his condition is right. And for all those people on death row, and you know, he must maintain his position, and you know, to fight it to the very end, and because see, Mamiya's case is not unique to death row. The only difference about Mamiya's case is that everybody knows who cares about humanity, who cares about justice, knows that you know what they're doing is you know not right. And a lot of people like, I can't believe it. What we're saying is, he believes it goes on every day. But, you know, Lumia says if his case, the death case, and Troy's case, and those cases that bring life to what's going on to wake people up, then so be it. One thing for sure, like they couldn't kill Malcolm. They couldn't kill Shaker Barr. They couldn't kill a whole lot of people. They couldn't kill Boone. They will never be able to kill them. And also, he will fight. And he fights for life. And he will continue to fight for life. You know, he don't want to go to that next level. But if that's the way it goes, that's the way it goes. But he's going to fight all the way to the end. And we're going to fight with him. On December the 9th, we're doing this thing. Some people brought the entire second floor of the Constitutional Center to make a statement that this whole thing is constitutionally wrong. It's not like we believe that the Constitution gives a damn about black folks and all you or any folks really. And all but, you know, to have this on the 30th anniversary when they beat, shot, ran Moon's head and kidnapped him and took him off the street 30 years later and after they came up with the vision of life in prison about the possibility of parole, and we're saying hell no to that. We're talking about bringing masses of people into the city. For that entire week, but on the 9th, and what we're saying is, like Dave Richardson said in his speech on August the 12th, and we had this massive demonstration, and what he said to Governor Ridge and to the FOP, there's a lot of us who are, some people are afraid of you, but there's a lot of us, who are not afraid of you, and we will stand up, and we will demand justice for Lumia. And Dave Richardson made that statement because he said, it started off, you know, I'm a black man in Philadelphia and I'm a state representative. I don't confuse the two. I'm a black man first and then a state representative. And then he goes on laying out the evidence that in 1995 that proved to be innocent. And the fact that, you know, the support that was around the world for Mamiya, including in the police department at that time, the Philadelphia Guard and Civil Defense, and all the government of terrorism has shut them up now. Like it shut them
up. Are they still in existence? Are the Guardians still? I said, are the Guardians still in existence?
They're still in existence, but they might as well be the FOP in black.
Now,
you know,
what
And, you know, and I say that without, you know, reservation and all, you know, because with all the people back in the day, when you had people like Alfonso Gil and you know, I'm not really tooting an Alfonso Gil, horn, but what I'm saying is that, you know, like when that Beat the Delta thing, he spoke out. And when he spoke out, he had to be guarded by police for telling the truth about what he saw. And, you know, the government, the way they beat my brother Delbert on August 8, 1978, and was just unbelievable for a lot of people. But the Guardian Civic League now, they don't even stand up for their own women. Michelle Bilal, who was threatened by the Fraternal Order Police. You have Blacks, Hispanics, you know, who go into the FOP headquarters, think that they can mingle because they cops in blue. They kick Black cops in blue guts too, and they beat them up, throw them out in the streets. And then Lynn Abraham throws out their petition and, you know, to have something done to them. They have to wind up filing federal suits. And to my knowledge, ain't nobody done nothing about the behind cookies or the threat from, you know, Michelle Bilal and the Guardian Civic League are not up front and are constantly telling people about how they are mistreated as well. And as far as the Guardian Civic League goes, you know, they can't protect their own. I know y'all love the campus, they can't speak up good for their, you know, for their own.
Now, what's your next move?
Following this ruling, are you going back to court? Because this ruling was about certain specific errors or misappropriate behavior by the court, by the judge, or the instructions to the jurors or whatever. So they've handled that, but are you planning to do something in terms of challenging this latest ruling or to see if you would be eligible for parole?
Right. Look, the only thing can come out of this next season thing is if Seth Williams filed for the death sentence for Mumia, then we're in court again. If he don't, then that means Mumia got life in prison without the possibility of parole. But, you know, and that's the end of their story as they think it is. But the movement is steady building because it's unacceptable. And because since when are we supposed to adhere to the law of the outlaw? And this is what we're, you know, pushing for people to do. And one thing Clinton McKinney said, in order to get things that you never had before, you got to do things that you never did before. And I'm saying, we're going all the way. And, and building the movement. And the only thing legally we could do, after that is petition Obama and to look into this case. Hold it. And I'm saying, you know, we're not doing that, you know, believing that, you know, they were like, oh gosh, this is so wrong. But enough people pressure, unrelenting people's pressure. And because when people wanted the cops arrested who tortured Amadou Diallo and was ramming nightsticks, you know, up his rectum. And it took people getting arrested, not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, but because of the injustice that was happening there. There was a lot of things that was happening. When Minister Farrakhan wanted a million man march, and people, ministers and churches who don't usually move, or people who had a problem with Farrakhan, once the movement came, these leaders had to pull in with their people. And I'm saying, it's and not in their hands what happened to Mumia. It is in our hands, and it's for us to be consistent and do not accept, you know, the outlaw's law as if it is wrong. And, this has been our battle from the beginning, and, you know, it's just, you know, a continuous flow for us. And, and I do know that we are victorious. In the words of Mumia, Mumia lives. You know, they were saying how Mumia would be you know, when he put in into population, we also have a petition in to get Mumia into into general population.
They have not put him in.
He's been in 2001 when Judge Yan overturned the death sentence. Mumia's supposed to have been on in general population, but he's never been. They don't want Mumia in general population because people can come and see, people can come and touch, and he has the ability to teach more people on the inside. They don't want that. They always wanted to silence him from a young child when he was, you know, into the Panther movie for the 2 years that he was there. And, you know, they're after and our fear of putting him in general population and, you know, is that, you know, we know that they will, they'll hire people. People will do anything for cigarettes. People will do anything to get out of jail. And but what we're saying is there's a protection around Mumia that they can't even deal with. And, you know, and for the person who has the thought of harming Mumia if he's, you know, when he's put, or well, not if he's, you know, when he's put in general population, you know, they got a hell of a problem. And because they think that the horror is what happened on the inside of that prison, let them touch Mumia. Let them touch him. And, you know, this is not just no idle talk like people say, if Mumia died, fire in the sky, or if, you know, Tookie died. No, you people didn't see the book from a match. If you want to see some damn reality, they mess with Mumia in there. And yes, it is.
Hey, Pam.
How can people get more information about the concerned family and friends of Mumia Abdul-Jamal? Give us your phone number, and if you have a website, give us your URL.
Right. Let me tell you two things, right? And my website that I had for years, and almost since Mumia's incarceration, and the government took it. My website was paid up to year 2013. And we go there one day, it's gone. It's just gone. And they said the webmaster closed it down. No information to be had. My phone, 215-476-8812, which is in every books around the world, how people have been getting in contact with me for years. And my phone was cut off. It was off for a month. And when I went to pay the bills, and I paid the bills, they told me that I could no longer have that number. And they wouldn't give it back. And, you know, so, you know, they can reach me by my cell phone, which is 267-760-7344. And Mumia is all over the Internet. FreeMumia.com is the site that we work with. Educators for Mumia is another site that we work with. And on this program on December the 9th, Amina Baraka and all whose daughter and all was murdered in domestic violence, the wife of Amiri Baraka, for those who don't know. And she'll be on a panel with Troy Davis' sister and another brother who is from Death Row, to be dealing with things from three different aspects. And Nina Baraka, who, and Amiri Baraka, who is not calling for the death sentence of the man who viciously murdered their youngest daughter, which was their son-in-law, you know, some years ago. The other brother, who served time on death row, he was a part of the death row 10, and when Governor Ryan overturned the death sentence where he was tortured into confessing to a crime that he didn't commit, and he'll be there. And Troy Davis' sister, and who everybody watched the government kill an innocent person, she'll be there. Michelle Alexander, Cornel West, the African Peruvian, you know, rapper, Immortal Technique. I mean, it's just a whole list of other people. My sister Ramona, and we're calling on, like, if Vic Gregory come, or, you know, any of these, you know, celebrities come, they won't be speaking, but I don't think that it should be a time where they speak. They need to come to show, you know, support, and all that we're not
right now, what our plans are going to be, and, you know, to help us shut Philadelphia down on December the 9th. We ask the people, Twitter, and, you know, everything that they can to take a stand that day and the following day for justice.
All right, before we let you go, where is it going to be, and give us the phone number again.
Okay, it's going to be at the Constitutional Center on December the 9th. The Constitutional Center is at 6 in Orange. Doors open at 7. The program starts at 7:30 sharp. December the 9th, 7, and early that day you're going to have a press conference at the American Friends at 12, and followed by from 2 to 6 o'clock, Hunk for Mamiya around City Hall, and you know that's what that day looks. The following day, we're doing a human rights hip hop spoken word, and we're bringing in people from all over, you know, who rap positive rap about what is going on in their area, and you know, following day to help raise money to keep this movement going.
All right, how can people send contributions to your organization?
They can send contributions to the Black United Fund in Newark, New Jersey, 40 Clinton Street. You know, in fact, I'm going to have to get back with you to make sure that address is right. You know, but it, all funds will go to the Newark Black United Fund Association and earmark it, Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Okay. All right, sister, we thank you for your struggle. We thank you for what you're doing.
And keep up the fight.
I thank you for always being there. And if anybody hasn't been, well, you, of course they on this site because, you know, they're listening to it. But I encourage you to tell other people and to email Julia so that you, if you're not on his site, I mean on his email, get on that email. Okay, thanks. On the move.
On the move. Stay strong.
That was Pam Africa from the Concerned Friends and Family of Mumia Abu-Jamal. She's a long and faithful supporter of Mumia. She's rumbled for years, for decades. She's a MOVE member. In addition to his early history as a Black Panther radio journalist, Mumia was a member of and supporter of the MOVE community, and they went through a lot of changes, and he supported them, particularly with his commentaries as the state attempted to repress, suppress, and murder them. And that's a whole story piece in itself when you talk about the state mobilizing against nonconformists and dissidents who basically just wanted to be left alone to live their own lifestyle. But that's another story for another day. We're going to share a commentary from the Ramparts with you. It's our latest piece, and you can see it. It's been syndicated. You can see it up on Before It's News. It's also been sent to various listservs like Love for Self, Chat Afree, The Blacklist Pub. It's also on the Harambe Ning. It's also on the Blacklist Pub's Ning social network under the forums. It's entitled The Real Reason Obama Sent Troops to Uganda. From the Ramparts, dispatches from the front line, observations and commentary on the psychological warfare and the battle for our minds, body, and soul, with J. Junius Ricardo Stanton. The real reason Obama sent troops to Uganda. Quote, a determined push by Western wildcatters and big oil companies from fast-growing Asian economies such as those of China and Malaysia may change the fortunes of several countries in remote and trickier bits of Africa once largely ignored by foreign investors. One of the most spectacular recent finds has been in Uganda. The reserves of the Albertine Rift, which takes in the Uganda and Congolese shores of Lake Albert, are said to need $10 billion for development. All being well, Uganda will soon become a mid-sized producer alongside countries such as Mexico. Foreign investment in Uganda may nearly double this year to $3 billion. The country expects to earn $2 billion a year from oil by 2015, unquote. www.economist.com/node/1582578 On Friday, October 14th, President Obama sent a letter to Congress informing them he was sending a small contingent of U.S. Special Ops forces to Uganda, ostensibly on another, quote, humanitarian mission, unquote, to advise Ugandan officials tracking down Joseph Kony, the newest boogeyman being used to justify U.S. intervention, imperialism, and the imposition of AFRICOM on the African continent. Just like the Orwellian doublespeak Obama used when he and the NATO warmongers attacked Libya for, quote, humanitarian reasons, unquote, on behalf of the international bankers supposedly to prevent Colonel Muammar Gaddafi from killing rebels, Obama is now sending troops into Uganda to stop another, quote, notorious bad guy, unquote, from murdering, looting, and wreaking havoc in Central Africa. This song is getting old and tired. Invasion is peace, massive murder of civilians is part of the program, and theft of resources is liberation. George Orwell would have been so proud. At some point in time, the U.S. public must stop believing the mass media's unsubstantiated assertions and start asking pointed questions like, why after 25 years is Joseph Kony all of a sudden such an evil force? But beyond that, stop and think a minute and look at history. Where did Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden get the weapons, military support, and the know-how the U.S. claimed they were using to either kill dissident Iraqis or to mastermind 9/11? Now we're being asked to believe Joseph Kony is this monster who needs Uncle Sam to come in and bring him to justice. Come on. We need to ask ourselves, where is Kony getting the weapons, camouflage gear, food, and supplies he needed to start his reign of terror that has been going on for 25 years. Did the Russians fund and supply him? Is it the Chinese, or was it the West, the Europeans, or is it the U.S.? From what the Western media says about him, and we know how reliable they are, don't we? We are supposed to believe that Kony is a religious fanatic on a mission to seize power and run the country in accordance with the Ten Commandments. Except for the fighting, raping, and killing he's doing, Kony could fit right in with the Christian right here in the U.S. He and George W. Bush must have a lot in common. We are expected to believe via U.S. media brainwashing that this guy stayed under the radar, getting guns, ammunition, food, and supplies from who knows where or out of thin air for 25 years, then all of a sudden, the U.S. decides enough is enough, that U.S. troops are a must, and Joseph Kony is the target. Where was Uncle Sam when the Coltan Wars in Central Africa were being fought? What? You never heard of the Coltan Wars or the Congo Wars? Quote, cell phones may have revolutionized the way we communicate, but in Central Africa, their biggest legacy is war. Nearly 3 million people have died in Congo in a 4-year war over coltan, a heat-resistant mineral ore widely used in cell phones, laptops, and PlayStations. 80% of the world's coltan reserve are in the Democratic Republic of Congo. the mountainous jungle area where the Khotan is mined is the battleground of what has been grimly dubbed Africa's First World War, pitting Congolese forces against those of six neighboring countries and numerous armed factions. The victims are mostly civilians. Starvation and disease have killed hundreds of thousands, and the fighting has displaced 2 million people from their homes. Often dismissed as an ethnic war, the conflict is really over natural resources sought by foreign corporations. Diamond, tin, copper, gold, but mostly coltan. Unquote. www.seeingisbelieving.ca/sell/KINSHASA. The United States has been openly and clandestinely arming various ethnic groups in Africa for decades, fomenting hostilities and stoking the fires they create in order to justify selling more arms to whomever will buy them. Keep in mind, the Africans are buying the weapons on credit with interest. This means the banksters get their cut along with the weapons manufacturers and the arms middlemen, and they all get paid from U.S. tax dollars. Quote, because many of the recipient countries remain some of the world's poorest, the U.S. government provided around $87 million in foreign military financing loans subsidized by U.S. taxpayers to cover the cost, increasing the debt burden that is already suffocating the continent. The DRC, stands for the Democratic Republic of the Congo, alone owes more than $150 million in outstanding Department of Defense loans, with Liberia, Somalia, and Sudan owing another $160 million combined. These loans accrued while corrupt dictators were serving as U.S. clients have further contributed to the economic hardships of these nations by saddling them with unproductive military debt. In an article titled Why the U.S. Won't Help, a Nairobi newspaper recently explained, right from the days of the Cold War, Western governments have been comfortable with a situation in which African regimes squandered meager resources on the instruments of war, borrowing from the West to finance domestic consumption. The war in the Congo and the countries involved in it are a case in point. In 1998, the State Department licensed commercial weapon sales by U.S. manufacturers to sub-Saharan Africa worth up to $64 million on top of the $12 million in government-to-government deliveries that year. Commercial sales to the region included 300 M16s, 233 pistols and revolvers, 3,940 rifles, and 10.8 million cartridges of 22x50 caliber ammunition. A number of the countries engaged in the Congo War were recipients of these stocks, including Zimbabwe, Uganda, and Nairobi. Congress also continues to provide only meager amounts of debt relief and development aid. Of the $370 million requested by the Clinton administration for various debt relief initiatives in fiscal year 2000, less than half, $123 million, was approved by Congress. The hypocrisy of asking Africa to develop and democratize while shrinking levels of non-military international aid and increasing weapons and training to the continent does not seem to have registered with policymakers. To demonstrate real commitment to developing a new partnership with Africa, the U.S. needs to redirect the focus away from strengthening military capacity and toward promoting human development in Africa, unquote. Report, U.S. Arms to Africa and the Congo War, World Policy Institute Research Project, www.worldpolicy.org/projects/arms/reports/Congo-ATM. On top of that, the wars create instability and humanitarian crises, which gives the corporations and the Western government who serve them a pretext to come in and steal whatever it is they covet, be it coltan, diamonds, or in the case of Uganda, oil. Do you get the picture? They are doing to Africa what they are doing in our communities here, bringing in guns and drugs, fomenting strife, and sitting back watching us kill each other. By the way, did the Obama administration or the mainstream media tell you oil was recently discovered in Uganda? Quote, Kampala, Reuters, Uganda expects to start refining crude oil from its fields in 2014, and the proceeds will help end the economy's dependence on donor aid, its president said. The East African nation discovered commercial oil deposits in 2006 in the Albertine Basin along its border with the Democratic Republic of Congo, and reserves of about 2.5 billion barrels have been confirmed. The country's Ministry of Energy estimates the basin's crude reserves could climb to 6 billion barrels when fully explored. Only 40% of the basin has so far been studied. In November last year, the ministry said a phased construction of the refinery will begin in 2012, starting with a capacity for limited production to satisfy the domestic market, whose demand ranges between 20 and 25,000 barrels a day, unquote. http://afr.reuters.com/article/investing/news/idafjoe79h04021018. Call me a cynic, but it makes sense Obama would send troops to Uganda now that they have discovered oil there, especially as the U.S. moves to secure all the continent's resources and prevent the Chinese from gaining another toehold in Africa. This is how they roll. They keep us in the dark and make us fall for their okey-doke. They tell us some cock and bull story about going after, quote, a bad guy, unquote, who they armed and supported for over 25 years. It's the same old, only this time it's being done by a black, quote-unquote, president. And that's my latest piece from the Ramparts. And like I said, it's currently being syndicated. You can see it at Harambe and their Ning platform. You can see that Love Herself. It's being syndicated by Before It's News and also the Blacklist Pub. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. Don't go anywhere. We have a short musical interlude, then we'll close out the program.
Let's go, fellas. Shout time's up in 5 minutes. That's it. 5 more minutes and that's it.
Yo, little Khadija pops is locked. She wanna pop the lock. My prison ain't nothing but a private stop. And she be dreaming about his date of release. She hates the police, but loved by her grandma who hugs and kisses her. Her father's a political prisoner, free Fred, son of a panther that the government shot dead back in 12-4-1969. 4 o'clock in the morning, it's terrible, but it's fine, cause Fred Hampton Jr. looks just like him, walks just like him, talks just like him, and it might be frightening the feds and the snitches to see him organize the gang, brothers and sisters, so he had to be framed, yo. You know how the game go, 18 years because the 5-0 said so. They said he set it fire to an A-Rap store, but he ignited the minds of the young black and poor. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail fate. Super maximum cans will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Collect call from Ness. You know, shit is crazy, boo. Yo, I miss you. Yo, can you put some money in my commissary?
Lord Kenny been smoking Lucy since he was 12. Now he 25, locked up with an L, they call him Triple K, cause he killed 3 niggas, another ghetto child got turned into a killer, his pops was a Vietnam veteran on heroin, used like a pawn by these white North Americans, mama couldn't handle the stress and went crazy,
Grandmama had to raise a baby, just a young boy, born to a life of poverty. Hustling, robbery, whatever brung the paper home. Carried the chrome like a blind man, hold a cane. Tattoos all over his chest so you could know his name. But y'all know how the game goes. D's kicked in the front door and guess who they came for? A young nigga headed for the pen. Could've been, should've been, never see the hood again. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escape the jail phase. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man. Locked up behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escape the jail phase. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man. Locked up.
Cuando yo llamo es como tú no me quieres escuchar. No he visto mis hijos, mi mujer, no me mandan retrato, no tengo dinero. Estoy aquí jodido en la cárcel, metido.
You ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living, 30,000 niggas a day, up in the bin. Standard routine, they put us in a box, just like our life on the block.
Behind enemy
you ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living, 30,000 niggas a day, up in the bin. Standard routine, they put us in a box, just like our life on the block.
Behind enemy lines.
Our musical interlude was provided by Dead Prez, behind, excuse me, Behind Enemy Lines. And I apologize for the distortion in the early part of the program. It was, our gain was a little too high on the microphone, so somewhat distorted, and I wasn't able to clear it up until the middle of the program. But we live and learn. Again, go to Pam Africa's website to get more information, or just use your browser to put in Mumia Abu-Jamal to get more information about him. Very famous case, political prisoner, along with El Amin, former H-Rap Brown, and so many others who stood up to the vicious fascist machine that is America, the government working at the behest of the corporations and the banksters, put down any challenge to the status quo. And it's interesting that Pam was talking about the march. Occupy Philly people marched over to University of Pennsylvania the other day, and because a high-ranking GOP congressman was speaking there, and the university, to their credit, opened it up to the public. So the people marched over there, of course, showing his true colors. A coward canceled his appearance because it was open to the public, and he heard that the Occupy Philly people were going to come on campus to attend his talk. So this shows you that these cowards, although they do the bidding of the elites, basically fear the people. You can rest assured that they will be working toward securing domestic tranquility, or as they call it, law and order, because the Occupy Wall Street movement is going to grow. Despite the impending harsh weather, the sentiments behind that, the sentiments behind the original Tea Party, is not going to dissipate. As the oligopoly tightens its noose around the people and they begin to do in this country what they're doing in Europe and in so-called third world countries, because the formula is the same, it's just a slight variation on the same theme, which is to impoverish the people. The goal is to control every aspect of our lives, whether it's environmental, economic, social, political, and so we become serfs, peons, slaves to their debt-based economic system. So that's not going to change. And so as more and more people wake up, because the one thing that the Occupy Wall Streeters and the Occupy movement is doing is forcing people to take a look at their own lives. Either you're part of the 1%ers and their minions, or you're a 99%er. And if you are like Pam and Leah and so many others, you have long been classified and marginalized as a radical, as a communist, and nowadays the new jargon is yours, you're a domestic terrorist, that kind of nonsense. And so you need to be aware of what's going on, and you will become more and more aware as you listen to programs like this and as programs and campaigns like Occupy Wall Street and the various occupation movements grow. We're just about out of time, but before we go, we want to tell you to free your mind, because the rest will follow. Engage in mental decolonization and actualize your innate divinity, your potential, talent, creativity, so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be, that your life manifests magnificently as a divine soul here on this physical plane, reflecting your connection with the Creator and making this world a better place. Till next time, stay strong, because if you're listening to this, you are part of the resistance.